Imagine waking up one morning to discover that the limitations you've struggled with your entire life, anxiety, depression, irrational fears, even physical ailments, were not inherent parts of your personality, but rather recordings of past traumas that could be completely erased. This is the revolutionary premise of L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics, a book that sent shockwaves through the psychological community when it was published in 1950 and continues to influence millions today. Tom Cruise, John Travolta, and Kirstie Alley are just a few celebrities who credit this work with transforming their lives. Despite controversy surrounding Scientology, the religious movement that later evolved from Dianetics, the book itself has sold over 20 million copies worldwide and been translated into 50 languages. What makes this work so enduringly compelling? Perhaps it's the audacious claim that anyone can achieve a state of optimal mental functioning called clear by following specific techniques to eliminate unconscious trauma recordings called engrams. At its core, Dianetics proposes that the primary goal of all human behavior is survival. This isn't just individual survival, but survival across four distinct but interconnected dynamics. Personal survival, survival through sex and children, survival through groups, and survival of humanity as a species. These dynamics form a spectrum without clear boundaries, and none is inherently stronger than the others. Each dynamic influences and reinforces the others. Success in group survival often enhances personal survival, while reproduction ensures both individual genetic continuity and species preservation. When we examine history through this lens, fascinating patterns emerge. Societies flourish when pleasure and survival are aligned, as in the Renaissance, where artistic expression, scientific discovery, and economic prosperity created a virtuous cycle of growth and innovation. Conversely, societies decline when pleasure is stigmatized, as happened after Rome's fall, leading to the Dark Ages, a period marked by the suppression of natural human drives and the equation of pleasure with sin. The optimal solution to any problem, according to Hubbard, is one that provides the greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics, creating a harmonious balance across all survival spheres. This survival imperative manifests across different zones of behavior and achievement. Zone 0, apathy-death, where individuals have given up on survival. Zone 1, violent effort, characterized by desperate struggle and conflict. Zone 2, moderate success, where basic survival needs are met but potential remains untapped. And Zone 3, excellence, representing optimal functioning and achievement. We instinctively strive toward Zone 3, but what prevents us from reaching it? Hubbard's answer is revolutionary. We're held back by unconscious recordings of past pain and trauma that hijack our rational thinking, creating automatic response patterns that often work against our true survival interests. Consider how often you've made decisions that seemed irrational even to yourself. Why do some people fear public speaking more than death, a fear that clearly doesn't serve survival? Why do others sabotage relationships when things are going well, despite their conscious desire for connection? These seemingly inexplicable behaviors, according to Dianetics, stem from survival-oriented commands buried in our reactive mind. Commands that once helped us survive traumatic situations, but now limit our potential. For example, a child who was once humiliated while speaking up might develop a lifelong fear of public expression, even though this fear limits their career advancement and social influence. The most profound implication of this theory is that humans are inherently good, oriented naturally toward creation, growth, and positive survival activities. What we perceive as evil behaviors are actually manifestations of pain, not our natural state. Remove these pain recordings, and what emerges is a rational being oriented towards survival and creation rather than destruction. This perspective suggests that antisocial behavior, addiction, and self-sabotage aren't character flaws, but symptoms of unresolved trauma that can be addressed and healed. Dianetics presents a model of the mind divided into three distinct components, each with specific functions and characteristics. Understanding this structure is crucial to grasping how mental aberrations develop and how they can be resolved. The analytical mind functions as a flawless computer, never making mistakes when operating with accurate data. It's our rational, thinking mind that analyzes information and calculates solutions. The monitor, or eye, controls this analytical mind and remains present even in aberrated individuals. Standard memory banks store every perception, sight, sound, smell, taste, sensations, with absolute precision as complex concepts with multiple references. These memory banks begin functioning very early in life and continue uninterrupted except during moments of unconsciousness with seemingly infinite capacity. Have you ever wondered why you can remember some experiences with crystal clarity while others remain frustratingly out of reach? According to Hubbard, the analytical mind can access all your experiences except those recorded during periods of pain or unconsciousness. Those are trapped in the reactive mind. The reactive mind operates through a mechanism of total identity, A equals A equals A, where every perception present in an engram becomes equal to all others. Consider a fish injured in its tail while swimming in yellow, brackish water with an iron taste. The reactive mind creates irrational associations. The fish will subsequently flee from any water with similar characteristics, even in the absence of real danger. This mechanism, useful for simple organisms, becomes problematic in humans. In humans, engrams contain not only perceptual associations, but also verbal suggestions that are executed literally. A woman mistreated and told she is fickle or of questionable morality will tend to manifest precisely those behaviors when the engram is re-stimulated. These engrams require a key-in, a conscious experience that recalls elements of the original engram to activate. The somatic mind executes the physical solutions determined by the analytical or reactive mind. It controls all muscles and organs of the body, implementing whatever commands it receives, whether rational or irrational. This three-part model explains why we sometimes act against our own best interests. When an engram is re-stimulated, the reactive mind temporarily overrides the analytical mind, forcing us to follow irrational commands recorded during moments of pain or unconsciousness. The cornerstone of Dianetics is the concept of the engram, a complete recording of every perception present during a moment of pain and unconsciousness. Unlike normal memories, engrams aren't accessible to conscious recall, but exert powerful influence over behavior, emotions, and even physical health when re-stimulated by similar circumstances in present time. Imagine a pregnant woman experiencing a moment of pain. Perhaps she bumps into a table. Her husband shouts, "Watch where you're going! You're always so clumsy!" According to Hubbard, this entire experience is recorded by the developing fetus as an engram, complete with the physical pain, the sound of the father's voice, and the literal meaning of the words. Years later, when the grown child hears similar phrases or experiences similar situations, the engram activates, potentially causing physical pain, emotional reactions, or compulsions to behave in certain ways. Engrams come in several varieties, each with distinct effects. Counter-survival engrams contain messages that hinder survival dynamics. For example, a prenatal engram where parents fight and the father strikes the mother's stomach creates a recording that includes phrases like, "I hate you, just lie there and rot, and I'm going crazy with pain." This engram can later cause illness, religious confusion, and hostility. Pro-survival engrams appear to help survival through their verbal content, but don't actually do so. A sexual encounter during pregnancy might create an engram with phrases like, "I can't live without this," or "It's wonderful," causing the child to later associate pain with pleasure, potentially leading to sadomasochistic tendencies or sexual dysfunction. Compassion engrams are particularly insidious because they align with survival purposes. These form when someone shows care during a moment of pain or unconsciousness, creating an association between illness, injury, and receiving love. A child with pneumonia might hear his grandmother say, "Those people don't mean to be bad to you. Just do what they say and believe what they tell you, and you'll be fine." This creates a devastating effect. The child must literally believe anything he's told, depriving him of critical thinking. Painful emotion engrams involve significant emotional loss or rejection. When a young woman learns of her beloved aunt's death, she may experience an emotional shutdown that creates an engram. During therapy, when this engram is located, an enormous discharge of grief occurs that was never previously expressed. What makes engrams so powerful is their command value. The reactive mind interprets their content as literal instructions that must be followed. A prenatal engram containing "I can't see straight" might manifest as vision problems. "I'm stuck" could create feelings of being trapped in life situations. "It makes me sick" might trigger nausea in similar circumstances. The revolutionary claim of Dianetics is that these engrams are the single source of all psychosomatic illnesses and irrational behaviors. By locating and erasing them through specific therapeutic techniques, Hubbard claimed that individuals could be freed from their influence, achieving dramatically improved mental and physical health. What would a person be like without any engrams? Hubbard calls this state clear, a condition where the individual is completely free from psychosis, neurosis, compulsions, repressions, and psychosomatic illnesses. Clinical tests demonstrate that a CLEAR's intelligence is superior to the norm, and they lead a vigorous and satisfying existence. The sensory perceptions of a CLEAR are remarkably improved compared to those of an aberrated person. While in the aberrated, perceptions, sight, hearing, smell, touch vary enormously due to psychic aberrations, the CLEAR perceives the world with optimal clarity. Even organic defects like vision problems tend to improve after clearing, as the body makes an effort to return to its optimal functioning. The CLEAR possesses a recall ability called returning, the innate faculty to relive past experiences both conceptually and sensorially, complete with all original sensations. They use imagination in its entirety, including visual, olfactory, gustatory, and auditory impressions. Their rationality is perfect, as the human mind is absolutely incapable of error when not aberrated. Errors derive only from incorrect data. The CLEAR is not an adjusted or repressed person, but operates based on their own self-determination. Humans are fundamentally good, and aberrations are what produce evil behaviors, which are actually manifestations of physical pain. Everyone can become CLEAR, except those who have suffered severe brain damage or were born with nervous malformations. The difference between a CLEAR and a normal person is comparable to the difference between the latter and a mental patient. The CLEAR is completely self-determined, with vigor, firmness, and tenacity toward life far superior to what was previously thought possible. Contrary to objections, a CLEAR is a rational being and does not represent a danger to society, but rather an advantage, as their actions are always rational. This concept of CLEAR represents Hubbard's vision of optimal human potential, a state where individuals are free to use their natural abilities without the limitations imposed by past traumas. It's an ambitious goal that suggests humans are operating at a fraction of their true capabilities due to the burden of engrams accumulated throughout life. The practical application of Dianetics centers on a therapeutic approach designed to locate and eliminate engrams. This therapy, conducted by an auditor, one who listens, uses a technique called reverie, a relaxed but fully conscious state where the individual can access and return to past experiences. Unlike hypnosis, which Hubbard explicitly warns against, reverie maintains the patient's full awareness and memory of the session. The auditor guides the patient back along their time track to locate moments of pain and unconsciousness where engrams were formed. By having the patient repeatedly recount these experiences from beginning to end, the emotional charge and pain associated with the engram gradually diminishes until it erases, becoming a standard memory without aberrative power. The therapy follows specific principles and techniques. 1. The auditor's goal is solely to remove the content of the engram bank, never to evaluate or judge the patient's experiences. 2. The auditor must follow the auditor's code, which includes being courteous, trustworthy, courageous, patient, and confidential. Violations of this code can block progress. 3. Therapy typically begins by addressing recent emotional pain before attempting to reach earlier engrams, particularly the basic, the first moment of pain or unconsciousness in the patient's life. 4. The file clerk or archiver mechanism in the mind cooperates with the auditor, delivering data from both the engram bank and standard memory banks when properly approached. 5. Various techniques are employed, including repetition, having the patient repeat phrases to locate engrams, moving the somatic strip, directing physical sensations to different points in time, and using flash answers, immediate responses that often reveal engram content. 6. Special attention is given to prenatal engrams, which Hubbard claims are particularly significant and accessible through therapy. The therapy process involves alternating between addressing physical pain engrams, working from early life forward, and emotional pain engrams, working from recent life backward. As engrams are reduced or erased, the patient moves up the tone scale, from apathy, 0.5, through anger, 1.5, to enthusiasm, 4.0. Challenges in therapy include holders, commands that keep the patient stuck at a point in time, bouncers, commands that push the patient away from an engram, deniers, commands that make engrams seem unreal, groupers, commands that collapse time, and misdirectors, commands that send the patient in wrong directions. A particularly difficult obstacle is the ally computation, the patient's unconscious belief that they need their engrams to survive because they contain recordings of people who helped them during times of pain or danger. This creates resistance to therapy as the patient fears losing protection by erasing these engrams. Despite these challenges, Hubbard claims that anyone can achieve the state of clear through persistent application of Dianetic therapy, typically requiring between 100 to 1,000 hours, depending on the complexity of the case. While Dianetic therapy addresses existing engrams, preventive Dianetics focuses on avoiding the creation of new engrams, particularly in children and unborn babies. This aspect of Hubbard's work has profound implications for how we approach pregnancy, childbirth, and child rearing. The most critical period for engram formation is prenatal life. Contrary to the belief that the womb is a peaceful sanctuary, Hubbard describes it as potentially filled with traumatic experiences. When a pregnant woman experiences physical pain or emotional distress, the developing fetus records these moments as engrams. Even seemingly minor incidents, a sneeze, constipation, bumping into objects, can create engrams in the unborn child. Abortion attempts are identified as particularly damaging sources of aberration, condemning the child to live with murderers whom they reactively recognize as such, often leading to diseases, suffering, and even mental debility. The fetus is extremely vulnerable. Pressure exerted on the mother's abdomen, impacts, sexual intercourse during pregnancy, all potentially create devastating engrams. Preventive Dianetics recommends several practices. 1. Maintain absolute silence in the presence of unconscious or injured people, especially pregnant women. Words spoken during these times become literal commands in the engram bank. 2. Treat pregnant women with particular care, avoiding physical trauma and emotional distress. 3. Create a calm, non-restimulative atmosphere for children, especially during their pre-verbal years. 4. recognize that the healthiest children are born to the happiest mothers. A clear mother has easy deliveries without needing anesthetics, which could create engrams in the child. 5. Avoid punishments, which feed the reactive mind and provoke revolt against the source of punishment, making constructive learning impossible. The implications extend to society at large. Hubbard suggests that aberrations are contagious, transmitted from individual to individual, from parents to children, until stopped by Dianetics. Cultural practices, false beliefs, and social norms can all contribute to this contagion of aberration. By preventing engram formation in the first place, future generations could potentially grow up without the burden of reactive mind content, creating a society of naturally rational, self-determined individuals. This preventive approach represents Hubbard's vision for long-term social transformation through the application of Dianetic principles. Dianetics extends beyond individual therapy to address broader social issues, including justice, war, and the future of human civilization. Hubbard suggests that social organisms, like states and nations, behave like individual organisms, moving up and down the tone scale with a dangerous breaking point around 2.0, below which they become irrational. In the realm of justice, Dianetics offers a scientific definition of right and wrong, good and evil, concepts that previously lacked precise meaning. Hubbard proposes that an ideal society would consist of non-aberrated, clear, individuals within a non-aberrated culture, as cultures themselves can become aberrated through education, customs, and jurisprudence. Injustice stems from the irrationality of past generations who, with limited knowledge, created solutions based on false factors. Dianetics demonstrates that aberration in individuals and society increases in proportion to the punishments employed. This suggests a radical rethinking of criminal justice, focusing on clearing aberration rather than punishment. Regarding war, Hubbard views it as tone one at the international level, as irrational as an individual criminal. The real problem is not controlling weapons, but controlling man himself. There is no national problem that cannot be solved with reason. Disputes between common people are inventions of those who lie. Dianetics addresses war because there exists a race between the science of mind and the atomic bomb. Looking to the future, Hubbard acknowledges that the therapeutic technique presented in his book will appear outdated in 20 or 100 years, a sign of human progress. The fundamental axioms and initial discoveries of Dianetics will remain solid scientific truths, while techniques will evolve. The current limitations of the technique are that it requires too much skill from the auditor and is not as fast as it could be. The goal is to develop methods that require less skill and work, ideally clearing a person in just a few hours. Hubbard compares his work to that of an engineer who has built the first bridge to a new fertile territory, now inviting others to build better bridges. This invitation to further development reflects his view of Dianetics as the beginning of a scientific approach to the mind that would continue to evolve and improve over time. Since its publication in 1950, Dianetics has had a profound and controversial impact on our understanding of the human mind. The book's influence extends far beyond the millions who have read it, as its concepts have permeated popular culture and spawned the religion of Scientology. Its initial release created unprecedented excitement, with the first printing of 50,000 copies selling out within weeks, and the book maintaining a position on the New York Times bestseller list for several months. Testimonials from practitioners describe transformative effects across various life domains. A corporate executive attributes his success to applying Dianetic technology, which improved both family and professional relationships by helping him process childhood trauma. Others report extraordinary cases, such as a young actor who used Dianetic techniques to help his brother-in-law recover completely after a drowning incident where he had been declared clinically dead. Musicians, artists, and entrepreneurs have credited Dianetics with enhancing their creative abilities and decision-making processes. The enduring appeal of Dianetics lies in its promise of self-improvement and its systematic approach to addressing mental and emotional issues. For many, it offers hope that psychological problems are not permanent conditions, but can be resolved through specific techniques. The book's methodology presents a structured path to mental clarity, including detailed auditing procedures, precise terminology, and clear progression markers that practitioners can follow. However, the scientific community has largely rejected Hubbard's claims, particularly regarding prenatal engrams and the concept of CLEAR. Critics argue that Dianetics lacks empirical evidence and relies on anecdotal reports rather than controlled studies. Leading psychologists and psychiatrists have pointed out that the book's core theories contradict established neurological principles and lack peer-reviewed research support. The development of Scientology as a religion based on Dianetic principles has further complicated its reception, adding layers of controversy related to religious practices and organizational policies. Questions about the effectiveness of auditing, the validity of e-meter readings, and the ethical implications of certain practices continue to generate debate. The book's influence on alternative therapy movements can't be denied. Elements of Dianetics methodology have influenced various self-help approaches, including aspects of neuro-linguistic programming and certain cognitive behavioral techniques. Its emphasis on traumatic memories and their resolution has parallels in modern trauma therapy, though the approaches differ significantly. Despite these controversies, Dianetics continues to challenge readers with Hubbard's final request: for God's sake, get busy and build a better bridge. This bridge between our current state and our potential grows stronger as new people use the book to improve not only their own lives, but also the lives of others, potentially leading humanity toward heights only hinted at. The adventure, as Hubbard would say, is just beginning, with each generation finding new applications and interpretations of his work, even as debates about its validity continue.